This morning, if you take your Bibles, you can turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13, you'll find our text in verses 6 through 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. And as you find it, would you please stand with me so that together we might honor the reading of God's Word this morning. John, chapter 13, and verse 6. The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pause just for a moment. Our Father, we see this morning in our text, Lord, there's a simple act that takes place. As Jesus lays aside his robe, clads himself as a slave, and washes the dirty feet of the disciples. Lord, we could look at this and say, well, that's a generous act of love and benevolence and condescension. But Lord, there's far more involved in what Jesus did by this act, and Lord, also what he's trying to teach these men and us. I pray this morning that we would see it. Give us eyes to see with, ears to hear with, and hearts to understand. Bless the offering, O Lord, that's about to be taken. God, this is an opportunity for us to be found faithful, to be obedient. And I pray this morning that we would take full advantage of it. Thank you for the difference that Jesus alone can make in a person's life here and one day there in eternity. For we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Practical Humility in Action. That's the title of our message this morning. Practical Humility in Action. Jesus riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And so supper began with 12 pairs of feet still unwashed. It was customary. That's why this is such an awkward moment, as we find in our text this morning. It was customary that someone, after they'd called a dinner party together, that someone would wash the feet of the attendees. In Luke's gospel, we find where the 12 were waiting for the other to take action, but there was one thing that was in the midst of them. Luke tells us that there was strife between them. No wonder. Imagine having supper and there's strife in the room. We've never encountered that, have we? Imagine waiting for someone else to do something that you know needs to be done. But when you're in competition with one another, and to stoop and do something so low, I mean, to get on your knees and get dirty, well, that might be beneath our character. As the Lord Jesus rose from his place at the table, the disciples, being silently rebuked by his actions, watched in an awkward and painful silence as the Lord clad himself as a slave, knelt before each of them in turn, and washed their soiled feet. We've got to be careful this morning and not focus on the act itself, for there is a spiritual truth here that is both practical and eternal. We do not want to miss it, as our brothers missed it in that first century. First, the practical. The demonstration of humility. I've already read verses 4 and 5. We were talking about this way of introduction of what Jesus was doing. But Jesus took the role of a slave. Now, watch this carefully. His actions were deliberate. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He was comfortable. It was a natural act for him. It was something that was not beneath his character. He wanted to do this for these men. Not just the practical issue that something needed to be done and that it needed to be done, but yet Jesus is trying to teach them something. He's going to tell them in a few minutes. He said, I've set for you an example of what I want you and I challenge you to do to each other. In the life of Christ, there is no room for ego, no room for pride. Surely there's no competition now. I mean, who wants to wash feet? Who's signing up for that? Not many today, not many in that day. The sudden hush, as one man wrote, embarrassed looks, the sense of shame filled the air in the room. And what condescension for the incarnate Son of God to wash feet. Imagine God washing feet. Imagine that. God Himself in all of His glory and all of His holiness, all of His power, all of His righteousness. He's on His knees. God is getting dirty. That's unthinkable. Peter, if you might want to put your name here. Then cometh Jesus to Simon Peter. Simon asked the question, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Can you hear the arrogance just dripping off of his tongue? You're going to wash my feet? Do you think you're going to wash my feet? The answer, Jesus said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. When Jesus responded to him, that should have been the clue. But you see, Peter, he was too self-confident and too ignorant, not only of himself, but the depths and purpose of Christ's love and mission. He just didn't get it. We've got to get it today, ladies and gentlemen, because there's too much at stake. The world is watching us. They're seeing everything that we do. They watch us have church, and God forbid they think we're just playing church. They're watching us how we do funerals. They watch how we do weddings. They watch everything that we do outside of these four walls. They watch us. Jesus never did an act, never said a word save worthy of God and that which would be reflective of the Father. Jesus was giving these men an exhibition of God's grace in action, and they missed it. We need to learn from God how to honor Him and learn to love according to His ways. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Our ways are not His ways. His ways are higher than our ways. In other words, we may not understand it until we get our mind on Christ, until we have the mind of Christ, until we start thinking heavenly ways instead of just earthly competitive ways. No wonder the world ignores the cross. Jesus is so patient with our spiritual dullness, and He corrects our faults with His amazing grace. Notice His reaction. Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. Listen to what Jesus says to him in verse 8. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. That word part means fellowship. Mary and Martha, you remember that in Luke's Gospel chapter 10, how that Martha comes in and she says, Lord, I'm in here slaving, I'm working hard, and Mary, she's not helping me at all. And you remember what Jesus said? He used the same word. He says, Martha, Martha, you're encumbered about with much. He says, but Mary hath chosen that good part, which I will not take away from her. Translated, it means fellowship. Mary has chosen to have fellowship. Jesus is telling Peter, Peter, if I do not wash you, he says, you and I can't have fellowship. Now, we're not talking about salvation because Jesus will settle that issue in just a moment. But we can't have fellowship, Peter, and let you allow me to wash you. Now, let's step aside for a moment. Here's Simon Peter. Now, folks, this is so us. Before Peter wished to tell the Lord what he could and could not do, you're not washing my feet. And then the Lord said, well, then we can't have fellowship. And now Peter wants to tell the Lord how things should be done. Well, Lord, verse 9, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Peter is still in control. But all along missing the spiritual point. Now, we looked at the practical. Here's the eternal. Listen to what Jesus says in verses 10 through 11. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. What Christ is saying here, Calvary provided us with a once-for-all radical cleansing from sin, a complete spiritual bath. Our daily walk through this world, defiles us. So our feet, that's the part of our body that comes in contact with the world, needs to be cleansed daily. Our minds, our eyes, our hands, our feet. Fellowship with Jesus, walking in the light, being filled with the Spirit, confessing our sin, will keep us cleansed. One man wrote this. It is the searching out of the Word, the washing of the Word in the presence of God. That fellowship and knowing what led me into sin is it is the judging of the root of my sins with the Word of God and letting God cleanse me from it. Jesus said, not only must I wash the sinners, but I'm the only one who can clean your feet. Now, how many times have we sort of reversed that? Well, if I confess my sin, then I'm done with it. Okay, let's do 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sin. Oh, so he has to do the cleansing. Whether it's in salvation, that's the spiritual bath, or whether it's in the daily part fellowship, Jesus still must do the cleansing. Now, the picture here is simply this. Peter said, you're not washing my feet. What does it take for someone to wash someone's feet? Well, someone has to get down lower than you. Someone has to be willing to touch that which is dirty. That's your sin. And someone who can wash and then dry them off. Someone who can handle that spiritually. And that they'll not get defiled from your sin and your dirtiness. But then we leave out the most important component. You've got to let him wash your feet. You've got to submit yourself. You've got to be honest. You've got to acknowledge that, yes, I am dirty, and he's the only one who can cleanse me. And yet, Peter was struggling with that. And I think we do too. That's what keeps many people from salvation, the spiritual bath. Because, number one, they don't want to admit that they have a need. Number two, they don't want to admit that they need Jesus, because if you admit that you need Jesus, that means you have a need. And so that's a weakness. And boy, there goes the competition and trying to keep up and all that looks good and performance-oriented and all this kind of stuff. And so what people do is they say, well, I'm okay. I believe, and that's all I need to do. That's fine. You know, you can believe all you want, and you can still die and go to a terrible place called hell, because Jesus is the only one who can pay your sin debt. And not only that, child of God, you can say, well, I live for Jesus and I love Jesus, but yet are you having fellowship with him? You say, well, it's not like it should be and it's probably not like it ought to be. Well, then you've got to understand, you've got to come to that place that even as a child of God, you submit yourself unto him so that he can cleanse you, because he's the only one who can pronounce you clean. You read the Old Testament, go through the book of Leviticus. Only the priests can pronounce someone as cleansed, because he's the one who examines you. You know, someone has leprosy. They come, and there's been a miracle. They come, and they have to bring their garments. and the priest is trained. He goes through the garment. He goes through, and they've got all this stuff. It's called the woof and all this stuff. Then he goes through, and he looks through the garment, and then he goes through, and he examines the house, and he looks through all the blankets because that's where this disease hides out. And once he looks at it, and he examines it in the light, by the way, takes it outside, then he'll come, and he'll pronounce that this person has been cleansed. Only the priest can do that. You see, folks, we've reversed that. We're saying, well, I said I was sorry, and I said I said I was wrong, and you know, and so, but then you still have a guilty conscience. If you let Jesus search you out as you have fellowship with him and you take his word and you come before him, my friend, I promise you, he will help you get to the root of what caused that sin or what's still hanging on, and then and only then will he pronounce you clean. And when he pronounces you clean, you know what? Your joy will be restored. See, we got it all backwards. Wisdom says, you know, well, you know, you messed up, you need to go apologize, and then, you know, then you're done. I can remember my little brother and I, we were always the same size until I went in the military. When I came home, I got off the plane, I walked right by him, and I heard this voice say, "Hey, David." I looked around, deep voice. When I left, he had a little whiny voice. "Hey, David." Now it's, "Hey, David." I looked around, and I looked up, and there he is, all 6'3" of him. I told my mom, I said, "What happened?" She says, "Well, when you left home, we could feed him." He exploded. We used to fight. We didn't wrestle. We fought. I mean, we just went at it. I'm the only one in this room that's ever done anything like that, so y'all just bear with me for a minute. And my mom would come in and say, "That's enough, that's enough, that's enough. Now I want you to say you're sorry to each other." And with clenched fist, I stood there. I said, "I'm sorry, Robbie." He says, "I'm sorry too, David." Mom wouldn't even get down the hallway, and we were at it again. But see, we dress it up nowadays, don't we? We know that we're supposed to be sorry, and we know that we're supposed to ask for forgiveness. And so when we get up enough courage to do that, we'll go and we'll say, "You know, what I said was wrong, and I, and then we'll dress it up. And if I hurt your feelings," "if I did, now if I did, I don't think I did, but if you think I did, and all my friends don't think I, but I mean, and not only did you have it coming, but if I did, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" And they're going to do it again. They just did it again. Why? You don't mean it. You're just doing it because that's what you're supposed to do. But oh, if the shoe's on the other foot. I can't believe they call themselves Christians and this is the way they treat. I just can't believe this. I just can't believe it. You know what? We're all guilty, every one of us. Why? Because we're not in fellowship, and we don't take our sinfulness before the Lord so that he can wash our feet, wash our hands, wash our mouths, and cleanse us. That's what's going on here. It's not the act of serving one another. It's the act of submitting to one another. That's what Jesus is asking these disciples to do. And then in the midst of all of this drama, the competition, Peter not having his feet washed, and then he flips, "Oh, Lord, wash my hands, my head." Then the Lord says, and boy, is this a humbling statement. "But ye are clean, but not all. For Jesus knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean." Still not too late, by the way, for Judas. But let me take you to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 6. Let me just read it to you in a different light. A lot of times we read this and we think, well, you know, this is how Christians are supposed to treat each other. How about this is how the Savior treats sinners, and this is how he expects us to treat people who use us, abuse us, and refuse us, and just people who just don't even like us. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. "Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. You want me to go through here and fill in the blanks for you? You know, it's one thing we can read God's word and we say, well, you know, that's, David, that's right. Amen. Amen. That's my favorite scripture. Do you know what it means? Love has lots of patience, suffereth long, nights full of tears and heartache. Love is kind. That means we're not cruel, we're not ugly. Love envieth not. It means we're not jealous. Love vaunteth not itself. Pride is not puffed up, boastful. Doth not behave itself unseemly. In other words, you're consistent all the time. Seeketh not her own. That's selfishness. Is not easily provoked. You're getting on my last nerve. Thinketh no evil. I knew it wasn't going to last. I told you there was something wrong with them. I knew it. Walking around like they're, yeah. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Ha! They finally got caught. But rejoiceth in the truth. God's working in their hearts. Let's rejoice in that. That's just a paraphrase. That's what Jesus is after for his disciples. But again, they missed it. Watch verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Do you know what I've done? Class is in session. Verse 13. Now remember, words mean something. You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. That's the facts. But now notice the order of the words. Watch verse 14. If I then, your Lord and Master... Okay, we need to stop. In verse 13, he says Master first, then he says Lord. In verse 14, he says, if I then, your Lord and Master... What is he doing here? This is a teaching moment. He says, verse 13, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. They understood Jesus as Master. That means he's the teacher. He's the Master teacher, and he's Lord. But ladies and gentlemen, when you get to verse 14, the order changes. If I then, your Lord and Master teacher, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. You'll never be able, watch verse 14, you'll never be able to do the ought of ministry until you get the word order right. Jesus is a master teacher, and he's Lord. But he'll never be your master until he's Lord. That's the whole point. Until you submit yourself unto his lordship. Until you come and you surrender yourself. You let him wash your feet. You let him explain to you and express to you what's sinful in your life. Until you listen to what he is teaching you. Because he is Lord, he has the right to do that, and you submit yourself unto that. Until that happens, listen, you'll not be able to do the ought of ministry. He says you ought to do these things. But if Jesus is just a teacher and he's not Lord, then there'll be a hit and a miss. Well, I wonder what Jesus would do in this situation. You know, I want to do the right thing. Translated, I want to look good. I don't want anybody to think I'm a heathen. You know, I need to do the right thing. I mean, it's time I did something at the church. It's time that, you know, bumper sticker, I need to do an act of kindness. Folks, that simply means Jesus is not Lord. If he's Lord, and the ought of ministry appears right in front of you, then because he's Lord, it won't matter what it is, whether it's teaching, whether it's preaching, whether it's singing a solo, or whether it's washing feet. It won't matter. Why? Because you're doing it for the Lord. That's the point. The Lord does not say, you should do what I have done unto you, but as I have done unto you. Why are you serving and to whom are you serving? Be careful of self-serving. One man wrote, no emissary has the right to think he is exempt from tasks that are cheerfully undertaken by the one who sent him. And no slave has the right to judge any menial task beneath him after his master has already performed it. Verse 15, Jesus says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And here's the principle. Verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. God on his knees, God getting dirty, unthinkable. You know, we struggle with this, getting dirty and the fact that Jesus, God in the flesh, would do this. But in just a few days, Jesus is going to the cross and he's going to get more than dirty. He's going to be beaten. God beat up. He's going to be misunderstood. He's going to be maligned. He's going to be lied about. And yet, even though he has all power, Jesus could have walked into the room and said, Peter, let's wash some feet, son. Let's get down here and get it done. Peter would have jumped up and done it. But Jesus doing that, God doing that, but God going to a cross to bear our dirty, filthy sins, with all of that power, he could have called 10 legions of angels to come rescue him, but he didn't. Because just as here he laid aside his robes, Jesus laid aside his glory robes, and he came to the earth as a man to do something that we could not do for ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot forgive yourself for your own sins, because sins have to be paid for. You cannot, by yourself, you cannot keep yourself on your own in fellowship with Almighty God. It takes submission unto the Lordship of Christ. So, David, what you're saying is, after I come to faith in Christ, that's just the beginning? Oh, that's just the beginning. And remember, his ways are not our ways. And if he's genuinely, truly Lord in your life, if he is Lord in your life, then no task will ever be beneath you. You know, it's easy to sign up to do the stuff we're all seeing. But boy, we sometimes struggle with maybe not getting any recognition or doing something that no one else would do. First started out in ministry, we had a program at the church, and we had a room full of ladies, kind of like what we do on Christmas here, ladies. And we had a room full of ladies, and I mean, everything was just going fine. And I was standing in the hallway, and Sandy walked up to me. She says, "We got a problem." I said, "What?" She says, "All the bathrooms are backing up." I said, "You got a problem." So we sent everybody into the other building to go to the restroom. So I went in the kitchen and I said, "Guys, we got some problems out here." And I remember specifically I had two guys And they said, what do we need to do? I mean, we had on the ties. We're all dressed up. You know, we're doing the head to maitre jobs. That's the maitre d'. We're doing all this, you know, we're getting it all done. And they went out there, and next thing I knew, they were down to their T-shirts, and they're taking off all the stuff outside, and come to find out these new diapers that babies wear, they will not go through a sewer system. And they will stop it up. And so we're out there, and I'm telling you, they had it all over them, and it was a mess, and they are having a ball. Laughing, carrying on. And by the way, they both ended up in the ministry. Not afraid to get dirty. We need to do what we need to do. And nobody would go out in that back of that building. I didn't see, but there was no fighting and wrestling going over on who was going to do this. Because they knew what to do, and they knew where it was. And they just went out there and did it. It needed to be done. And they ended up in the ministry. Where were you? I was running water in the sinks, making sure it was going down. Not yet. Keep pulling. I think we got it. We. What makes us think that we're more holy than our own Savior? That we will not get dirty. And it's not just cleaning out sewer pipes. It's touching other people who are sinful. And being long-suffering and patient with them. It's amazing. We will bend over backwards to help someone else. But boy, if it comes to our family, we have no patience whatsoever. Turn or burn. Get right or get left. That's the way it's going to be. And yet, someone that we don't even know can steal from us, rip us off, lie to us, be hateful to us, scream at us, accuse us of all kind of stuff, and we'll say, we just got to keep reaching out to them. We just got to keep helping them out. They hadn't got it yet. Verse 17. Jesus said, if you know by experience, and you're doing these things by experience, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. It's one thing to sit around and have a Bible study and talk about it. But when it's your turn, true joy only comes if you do these things. Happiness does not consist in knowing but in doing. It is not enough to hear, understand, and approve. We do what is right because we know there's a must. There's an ought to it. Jesus says, if you know these things, you ought to do it. That's ministry. Ought. The ought of ministry. Humbly, loving, not keeping score, doing something for someone because they need it done. They need it done. I don't need to add any more illustrations. I think you got it. It's more than just physically washing their feet. It's the attitude. It's the humility. It's not looking for anything in return because you're doing what the Lord would have you to do. It's amazing. In heavens, perimeters. In order to go up, you've got to go down first. You don't climb the ladder, you hold it for others. The world can be all wrong, and we'd have to compromise to be with the world. But Jesus, I want you to be right, even when it's not popular. even when it's not good for you. The world says it's okay to hate and lie and cheat and divorce and commit adultery and fornication and you know, because that's what everybody else is doing. But Jesus says, I want you to be separated, sanctified. Those words mean holy, unto me, because I have a plan and a path and purpose for your life. So I want you to stick out like a sore thumb, and don't even worry about trying to defend yourself. He says, I'll take care of that. I will do that for you. Because he will defend and restore us. But he can't if we're trying to do it ourselves. Read the Gospels. Jesus never defended himself. He let the Father do that every time. Washing feet, sometimes it might be more involved than just literally washing someone's feet. You have to wait for them to let you. That takes patience. That's love. You have to be careful how you do it. I've had my feet washed with hot water and cold water. Hot water is kind of strong, and the cold water, man, that's tough. It's supposed to be a moving, reverent moment, and they put your foot in that water, and you go, amen. But now when you go to someone and you try to help them, don't be cold. Don't be icy. And don't be all fired up and be hot either. Let me tell you what you need to do. Jesus doesn't do that. Does he do that with you? No. But he's always waiting for me. And finally I say, Lord, here's my dirty feet. And he washes them, and he holds them. He's not afraid to get dirty. Then he dries them off. He says, okay, David, let's try it again. That's washing feet. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we've got to push away all of the past, the times we've done it right and the times we've blown it, times we've had a short fuse and the times that we didn't do anything. All that's in the past. Today's a new day. Help us start fresh today. The Lord, it has to start in our hearts. There's not a one of us in here, Lord, that does not have someone that we are trying to help. They won't let us. We don't know what to do with them. We're at our wits' end. So, Lord, help us today to come and surrender ourselves to you again. And trust you as you work in their lives. God, we're just instruments. We're just vessels. Vessels of your grace. Vessels of your patience. Vessels of your love. Lord, you need a human being that you can pour that through, just like God did with Jesus when he came to the earth. We can't save anyone, but we can be a vessel that you can save them through. So, Lord, in our actions and even in our reactions, if we're not surrendered to you, it can get ugly real quick. Condemnation, critical spirit, threats, deadlines, drawing lines in the dirt. Lord God, help us. Start today afresh. Start today with a new page. And Lord, the next time we see this person, whether it's a phone call or whether it's just a chance meeting, if our heart's right, there'll be a difference in our tone, in our eyes, in what we're concerned about. No longer judging, but concern, appreciation. Lord, help us. This is not just a five-minute decision. It's something we've got to work through. But first step, we must surrender ourselves to you again and again and again. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.